A peace that surpasses all understanding. That was our scripture reading this morning from Philippians 4 and verse 7. A peace that surpasses all understanding. I resonate with that statement. I long for that sort of peace. And I resonate with that statement in particular. Just ask Cassidy. There's all kinds of things that surpass my understanding. And she'll tell you that's very clear. But I resonate with that thought, this idea of peace that surpasses all understanding. But maybe you don't resonate with that as much. Maybe for you, the idea of a lack of peace that surpasses all understanding, maybe that feels more in tune with reality sometimes. That we have this missing peace, this lack of peace, and we can't quite comprehend why we always have a lack of peace, a missing peace. And we begin to think to ourselves, if I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm given all these promises of peace, why am I not experiencing it? Am I doing something wrong, or is there something wrong with me? And I ask this question, and there's, of course, we're not going to be able to resolve that in a perfect way, because some of it is just how we feel. But I do think we need to ask this question: what does it mean to be missing peace to begin with? Because a lot of how we feel about this idea of peace has to do with how we're defining peace to begin with. If we define peace as having perfect circumstances all the time, where everything is always as it should be and everything's right in order, we have no problems, then we're, as we talked about last week, we're always going to be missing peace. We're never going to quite feel like we're there, because look around the world, things are not as they should be. We look in the mirror, things are not as they should be either. And so if we base our definition of peace based on that, then we're always going to be feeling like we are missing peace. And so what does it mean then to live with peace as Jesus intended us to live? And what does that look like? That's what we tried to answer last week as we looked at this passage in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. It says, "And you will keep perfect peace," or shalom in the Hebrew, "and all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." And we define this idea of shalom as being this idea of peace and unity with God, with others, with self, with circumstances. And it doesn't mean that all of these things are perfect, but instead it means we have come to a place where we can accept the imperfection of all these things, other than, of course, of God. And so as we said last week, peace isn't found in the absence of problems. But instead, as we looked in Scripture and this idea of fixing our eyes on God, peace, biblically speaking, is found in the presence of God. We're never going to get to a point where there are no problems, there are no bad circumstances in our life. So we accept that. Instead, we're told in this passage in Isaiah to rest our mind on God. We talked about this idea of leaning on God and what that looks like. We talked about the whole idea, how do we do that? How do we rest in God? And it's going to look different for each of us, but fundamentally it means meeting Him in spiritual disciplines like prayer, fasting, scripture reading, and other places. But at the same time, you do all those things, and or maybe we struggle to do all those things consistently, if you're like me. But you might ask this question. You do all these things, you're like, okay, I accept that. I got good comments from the sermon last week, and so maybe we say, we accept that, great. Okay, we're on board with that idea of finding peace by resting in God. But maybe we're still left with this lingering question sometimes. Am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Because the truth is, we look around us and we realize people deal with the difficult circumstances in life vastly different. And maybe you look around and you see others who seem to be resting on God and they go through trials. And maybe you look at how they endure trials and you think, well, am I doing this right? Maybe you've gone through a difficult trial and it's been hard for you. You found it hard to rejoice at times, yet you look at your brother or your sister and they go through the same difficult trial and they say, praise God, rejoice, rejoice. And you think, I don't feel that right now. Am I doing this right? Or maybe from the other standpoint, maybe you do feel a sense of joy and a sense of contentment in Christ, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, and you look around and you see someone lamenting. And you think, I don't feel that. Am I doing this right? Now, not to keep us hanging throughout our talk today, let's just go ahead and say both of those are totally natural and we'll say biblically acceptable, if you will, responses to difficult trials. And I think both of those can be a way that we rest in God and find peace. Now, hopefully, we feel both of those feelings, both lament and both rejoicing at various points in our lives, and maybe even in our day or hour as we try to take one step at a time. Yet, we also realize, I want to say this, is that God makes us all different. And the way that we process things and go through grief or go through trials or the ways that we rejoice are going to be different, and we accept that. But I think maybe many of us can resonate with this idea. When we go through hard times, we go through suffering, we might ask this question, am I doing this right? I know I've asked that question. And this morning, I want to look at a passage that maybe brings to light the nature of what it means to find peace in God. Because again, we come to this question with all sorts of expectations and what we ought to feel like, or at least we think what we ought to feel like. Culture defines what we ought to feel like. Our family of origin helps define for us what we ought to feel like when we go through this life and the struggles along with it. And even the way in which we talk about it in church, and we know that, we're sensitive to that, can define the way that we think we ought to act during trials, tribulations, and difficult seasons. And so I just want to ask this question of what does it mean to find peace in God? And I want to look at a passage in Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. Here Paul is talking to early Christians, and he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, those who have committed themselves to Christ, decided to follow Jesus, have confessed their faith, and have been baptized in him, he says, through faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the one sense, if you have committed faith to Christ, you're following him, you've been baptized in him, there's one sense in which you have peace with God. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on what's currently going on in your life. That's a reality you have in Christ in your salvation. But also that is something we know that we struggle with each day to be aware of that peace that we have with God and to feel that peace in a very concrete and experiential way. And Paul continues to go on. He says, through Christ, whom we have gained, this peace with God, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's kind of like those who seem to just to carry suffering so well and seem to rejoice, right? They're boasting in the glory of God. But also this idea of boasting in suffering and glorying in suffering. That doesn't mean we always do it with a smiling face, but it says not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And why I bring us to this passage is because I want to highlight this idea again that we talked about last week, that peace isn't found in the absence of problems. Because I think we hear that we're supposed to have peace, and we even hear the statement, but we go home and we experience real suffering, we experience trials, we experience temptations, struggles, and it feels bad. Can I just say that? It's a very simple way to say it. It feels bad. And then we begin to question, well, aren't I supposed to feel this peace? I'm feeling something, I'm going through something difficult, I'm going through something hard, and I feel bad? And then I feel like I'm asking this question, then am I doing this thing right as a follower of Jesus? If this feels bad to go through difficult things? And what I want to challenge us this morning is to think about peace in this way, is like, no, it's not, you're not doing it wrong if you feel bad going through trials. That's what it feels like to go through trials. We're going to feel bad sometimes. We're going to feel pain. We're going to feel hurt. And when we feel those things and we endure those feelings, that's not a sign of lack of faith or unbelief. That's the thing. That's what it means to go through life and follow Jesus and to actually experience the things that come our way. And yet we're able to know intellectually and hopefully through spiritual disciplines, through leaning on God, hopefully we feel this, we feel it on a real physical level, that we experience it. But understanding this pursuit of peace is found in the experience of struggle. We know we can, we've been saying we can have peace without having ideal circumstances, or we can have peace even in the midst of problems, but it's not despite problems, it's through enduring those problems. And with that, we're going to feel hurt. We're not going to feel good all the time. We're not going to feel okay. But it's in these moments that God stretches us and grows us, shapes and forms us. And so when we go through these struggles and we feel hurt, we feel pain, we feel bad, we don't feel okay, you're not doing it wrong. That's the way you're supposed to feel when you go through something painful and hurtful. That's the human experience of going through problems and trial. Now, what your faith calls you to, what Jesus calls you to, is to follow him even when you're feeling bad, even when you're feeling difficult. It's not wrong for you to feel bad. That's just the way things are. That's reality. But instead, what we're called to is to keep following, to lean on Jesus. And that it's so easy to lean on our own. Feel that isolation and say, listen, this isn't giving me the good feelings I thought it was going to give me. And we walk away from it. What our faith calls us to do is to go back and in those moments lean on Jesus. This is the pathway to growth. You say, I want to grow to be more like Jesus. I want to experience spiritual growth. There's going to be good times in that. There's going to be some great highs, some exciting times where we can see growth in our life in real time. And I'm young. I've not experienced a lot what I know people in this room have experienced in terms of loss, in terms of suffering, in terms of pain. But what I'm learning is it's during those moments of pain, trial, struggle, and difficulty, those are where we really see growth in our life. Even when we don't feel it, even when it hurts and when we're in pain, that's when God is doing his most significant work in our lives. And we might come on the other side of that trial, not having everything we had before, not having everything set right in this lifetime as we think it should be. There's going to still be some things that are wrong, still some things that are painful as we exit out of trials. But as we lean on Jesus, he's continuing to shape and to form us to be more like him. And that's our pathway. That's the thing. And so when you experience that, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with feeling pain, hurt, and suffering. There's also nothing wrong with you feeling a sense of joy, even in the midst of that. But there's also nothing wrong with you feeling a sense of lament and grief. We ought to allow ourselves to feel as God has created us to, but also as God himself feels. We see Jesus rejoicing in his lifetime when God became flesh and dwelt among us, but we also see him experiencing pain and feeling grief. That's the human experience, but that's also the pathway for a disciple to grow, to be more like Jesus. And I want to, this seems like an odd illustration, but I want to give an illustration coming from even the stock market as we think about this for a moment. As you look at a chart of growth, this is of the a representation of the stock American stock market over time. As you think of highs and lows, people invest their money and they have these great highs. And that's why everybody decides to get into investment. That's why everyone decides to invest their money. But as we all know, and what keeps many people out of investing their money, is that there's some amazing lows. If you look at that one's around 1930s, you can probably guess what that might have been. And as you look at these lows, what happens and what investors tell you to do is when you get into investing and you buy an index fund, you buy a mutual fund, they say buy and hold. There's going to be times where there's going to be incredible lows, but you want to hold, and over time and over history, the stock market has continued to increase. But because we're human, what happens is you experience a catastrophic low and people begin to back out. This is not what I signed up for. This is not the good that I was hoping for. And so people pull away, back out. This, I must be doing this wrong if I have lost this much money. But the principle that sound economics economists will tell you is to keep holding. In fact, it's during that time that many will continue to buy up stock, continue to invest, because they know historically it climbs over time and grows over time. And I do feel like I need to say this, as many of your investment statements probably say, since I'm using this as an illustration, for liability of the church, past performance is no guarantee of future results, okay? So don't take this. This is a spiritual illustration, all right? But as we think about that, it's during those lows, we feel like, we feel the pain, we feel the struggle, we feel the difficulty, and it's so easy to step away. But it's in those moments that we need to keep faith, to remain in that, to stay steadfast, to endure, lean on God. God is with you in those moments. He's experienced them himself through Jesus, coming in the flesh, dwelling among us, and experiencing suffering as we all have. It's in those moments. And in those moments, a sense of peace. However you might think about that, if we define it as happy feelings, you're thinking, okay, this none of this makes any sense. But we define it in the sense that my security, my hope, my assurance is in Christ and Christ alone. We are able to find that sense of peace. To know, even though I don't feel it, even though I'm not experiencing it at this moment, God is working for my good. It doesn't mean it's going to be the good I want it to be or the good I used to experience, but it's an eternal good found in right relationship and eternity, salvation in Him. But you think, maybe you're thinking, okay, I get that, I understand it, I can accept that, but how can I make it through? Because right now, maybe you're just feeling a difficult trial, or maybe it's in those moments of suffering, you're like, yeah, I believe that intellectually, but I struggle with it experientially, I struggle with it in the moment. And again, I challenge you, that's normal. That's exactly how we probably ought to feel as human beings going through difficult moments, as we experience this idea of struggle. But not only do we experience struggle, because as long as you're alive, that's just a reality. It doesn't take much to follow Jesus to say, I'm going to experience struggle. If you decide you're not going to follow Jesus, I got news for you. You're still going to experience loss, pain, suffering, and struggle. And so what Jesus calls us to do then is to learn how to accept the struggle, to accept this is the way things are going to be. As a human being living on planet Earth, there's going to be loss. There's going to be struggles. As a follower of Jesus, we can say there's going to be some additional struggles and challenges, temptations. But the fact that we experience those things does not mean we're doing it wrong. That's just the reality of it. That's the thing. That's what we've been preparing for. That's what our faith is meant to be lived out in. This is what we signed up for as we confess Christ and say we're going to walk with Him. It's hard. It's a struggle. It's difficult. And so maybe what we walk away with this morning I don't have an awesome positive thing as we wrap this up. But one thing that we can walk away with is when you're going through something hard and difficult, acknowledge that. When you're walking with someone who is going through something difficult and something hard, maybe the best thing isn't to say, well, rejoice, your hope is in God. It may not go over so well with someone who is going through pain, grief, and suffering. But maybe as you walk with them, just say this, just acknowledge it. This is so hard. This is difficult. And most people, I think, will resonate with that. And so for yourself, when you're going through those trials, acknowledge this. Maybe even say it out loud to yourself. As this is hard. This is difficult. You know, there's a tendency in us, and some of this has to do with our upbringing, or maybe how we've been told to experience struggles, or we're told we're supposed to rejoice always, which of course is from the Apostle Paul. We should, but there's a context for that. And so maybe because of that, we have a tendency to say, yeah, but my problems aren't as bad as someone else's. And so we fly past our own struggles and we don't acknowledge it. Or, well, so-and-so has it so much worse off. Or it could be worse, whatever it might be. But instead of doing any of those things, and certainly instead of saying that to someone going through a struggle, just say this, this is hard. This is difficult. And know this. God is with you in the midst of that challenge. And so we go back to Romans 5, verse 5. This is how this passage wraps up. And all of this, hope does not put us to shame. If you do this, if you decide to lean on God in those struggles, if you decide to stick with him even when the going gets tough and when you don't feel it, and when you're not experiencing this sense of wholeness that you long for and you want, if you decide to put your hope and your trust in him, you will not be put to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God is with you. And peace is found when through suffering we learn to empty ourselves, or sometimes we just allow ourselves to be emptied because there's not even anything active we need to do. To humble ourselves, we're being humbled by things being taken away, experiencing loss, experiencing trials. And so through suffering, we learn to empty ourselves or allow ourselves to be emptied in order to be filled by God. God is with you in your trials. And as much as we can be as other human beings going through suffering, we are with you in your trial as well, as your church family and as other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that we show up for each other. But Jesus, when he was departing this earth and he was ascending into heaven, he told his disciples he's going to be with them. But many days before, when Jesus was teaching his disciples right before his crucifixion, being led off into trial, he gives this whole talk, this discourse on the Holy Spirit, and how that Jesus, when he departs, they would not be alone. In their trials, they would not be alone in their challenges and their work, their mission, but that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says about the Holy Spirit. This is what I want us to trust in and hope in and to know intellectually, and hopefully through trial and error we can experience this as true. And John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace, that is my spirit, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We have the presence of the Spirit of God with us and within us. That's not just something that we have for the purpose of receiving gifts and talents and abilities, but it's an acknowledging and becoming aware of God's presence in our life. It doesn't always feel like he's within us. It doesn't always feel like he's in reach. But the intellectual truth and the truth of our faith is that he is with us every step of the way as he is in our hearts. And that's one of the great truths of the Christian faith. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song, an older song, called "It Is Well." And this song really, it's about acceptance of some of the non-ideal things that we experience as human beings. And this song, it's a song of rich faith. I remember singing it as a child and I didn't quite understand what it was all about? In one sense, you say, it is well. It sort of sounds dismissive because sometimes things are not well. But if you look at the lyrics of the song, it's all about wrestling and the struggle of life, the struggle of the human experience, as we look around us and realize that all is not well. Yet it's through faith, hope, leaning on God, trusting in Him, and following Jesus, and being aware of the Spirit's presence in our life, that we can say, it is well, and declare it well. And so maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've gone through difficult trials in your life. I imagine you have. And maybe God has brought you through that. And so in just a moment, as we sing that song, praise God for being with you in the good times and the bad times and bringing you through stronger and more like Christ. But maybe you're here this morning, you've gone through a difficult trial or you're going through a difficult trial. And while maybe intellectually you know in Christ all is well, but maybe you're not feeling that this morning. Maybe you feel something different. Maybe you feel bad. Maybe you feel hurt, you feel in pain. And I encourage you, even in this song, just take some time to listen and allow your brothers and sisters in Christ, who, by the way, have gone through struggles, have gone through difficulties, gone through challenges, and that's not dismissive, but that's instead to say, let them testify to you that it's through those moments in the valley that we experience that God shapes and forms us, grows us, and gives us hope for the future, and allow them to sing that to you as a testimony. And this morning, if you would like to seek the prayers of a shepherd or of an elder, there's going to be a couple of our elders after our services today in the prayer room on your left. Or maybe you're here this morning and you just want to receive prayers from your brothers and sisters in Christ, or perhaps you want to take that step, that first step in leaning on God and experiencing, maybe for the first time, that peace that surpasses all understanding. We invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.